Book Talk is sponsored by Berean Bookstore, Central Illinois' exclusive Parable member store, with locations in Peoria, Bloomington, Champaign, and Decatur.
Good afternoon and welcome to Book Talk. I am so glad that you have joined us today because we have a very special book to share with you. You know, God really guides me to the books that we review on Book Talk. And the book that we are going to be talking about today, Money, Possessions, and Eternity, has really had a profound impact on my life. It's really made me realize that everything that I have is a blessing from God and it's meant to be invested in eternity. Well, the author of that book, Randy Alcorn, is here with us today. You might remember some time back we interviewed him on his book, Pro-Life Answers to Pro-Choice Questions. He's a very versatile and gifted author, and by reading his book, Money, Possessions, and Eternity, you really get a glimpse into Randy Alcorn's heart and who he is. Randy, welcome back to Book Talk.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It is so good to have you with us. Well, Randy, this is actually an older book that came out in 1988, and you state that this is an updated version and that literally you have changed every single page in the book. Why did you feel the need to rewrite this book, especially with such extensive changes?
Well, when the book came out in 89, I had just gotten involved in some peaceful, nonviolent civil disobedience. That's when rescuing was going on, and with many other pastors and non-pastors, I really felt God's call to peacefully go down to these abortion clinics and to make a statement, to stand in front of the doors, to offer alternatives to women, to draw attention to the fact that the unborn were human beings who had rights that weren't being recognized. And, of course, that was not a popular thing to do. I'd been on the board of a crisis pregnancy center. We'd opened our home to a woman who had an abortion, and now a young woman, 18-year-old, who'd been had another child that she gave up for adoption. We had the joy of seeing her come to Christ while she was in our home. So I was very active in pro-life work, but I was a pastor. And then as a result of 1989 and 90, after the first edition of Money, Possessions, and Eternity came out, we were sued by a couple of abortion clinics. There had been no physical damages, but they were trying to get punitive damages to keep us from going down there and interfering with their business. As a result of the lawsuits that came against us, they came to garnish my wages from the church where I was a pastor, and I had to resign as a pastor to keep them from taking a portion of my wages to go to an abortion clinic. And like I told the judge, you know, I'll be glad to pay anybody any debt that I owe them, but I can't write out a check to an abortion clinic because they're going to use it to kill children. So, as a matter of conscience, I felt like that was my only choice, and then suddenly I had to resign as a pastor. Well, then I could not make any more than minimum wage because anything above minimum wage was garnishable by an abortion clinic. So getting back to the relationship with Money, Possessions, and Eternity, which may be obvious by now, we had lived by the principles of the book, and we had sought to give generously, to be out of debt. We were out of debt. We'd made our last house payment just 2 months before this whole thing happened. And we also were living on a great deal less than what our income was, which was a good thing because suddenly all I could make was minimum wage. My wife could make her normal part-time salary. But anyway, so here we were, and over the next number of years, I learned a great deal about some of the principles that I had set forth in Money, Possessions, and Eternity, that first edition, including God's ownership. And it really hit home because legally, since 1990, I have been unable to own anything. My name is not on anything. I can't write out a check. My name's not on a bank card, you know, anything like that, because it you know, those funds then would be accessible or in jeopardy from an abortion clinic. So as a result, I learned a great deal, and over the last 12 years between the first edition and writing, or 13 years, and writing the second edition, which just came out in January, A lot of things changed. I learned a lot more. I had a lot more to say on the subject.
Well, it just goes to show that God uses what men intend to be really hard times and trials in our lives to teach us quite a bit more that he wants us to learn.
Exactly. It was definitely a classic Genesis 50 situation, Joseph and his brothers. You intended it for evil. God intended it for good. The abortion clinic intended it for evil, but God brought great things out of it, not only because after I resigned as a pastor who started a new ministry, Eternal Perspective Ministries, and we were able to do far more, actually, not only in pro-life work, but in supporting missions work and drawing attention to the poor, the needy, the hungry, and all of the royalties from all of my books go to our ministry, which in turn gives away a minimum of 90%, but for the last 5 years, it's been 100% of those royalties to Christian ministries. And by God's grace, that means that the books have been selling very well, and that means in the last 4 or 5 years, we've been able to give away about $700,000 of royalties to God's work around the world.
Well, and I just know that as a result of that, many, many people have come to know Christ as their Savior and come to know what a glorious God we serve. And that's really what your book is all about. It's about looking at everything in life, our money, our possessions, our time, from an eternal perspective, not just what's here on earth, but from an eternal perspective. And you encourage us to read this book of yours by praying first and then starting to read it, and to pray as we read through it, because it's really a very personal book. It's really going to touch your life and your heart.
Right. I think it's something where money is close to our hearts. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart is going to follow your treasure. And that's why he said in that same context in Matthew 6, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, not because it's wrong so much as because it's stupid, it's foolish, because he says those treasures on earth are not going to last. Rust and dust and moths, and there's going to be fire, and they're subject to loss of all sorts. But lay up for yourselves or store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where those things won't destroy them. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And what he's saying is if you spend your whole life laying up your treasures on earth, then every day of your life as you get closer to the day of your death, you're going to be backing away from your treasures. But if you spend your life laying up treasures in heaven, then every day of your life as you get closer to the day of your death, you're actually moving toward your treasures instead of backing away from them. And the person who spends his life moving away from his treasures has reason to despair, but the person who spends his life moving toward his treasures has reason to rejoice.
Absolutely. You make a rather surprising and very honest statement in your book, and you tell us, as we're reading it, that there is something in this book to offend everyone, and there's even some things in it that offend you. So let's get started and go into a little more detail. You state that to build the proper foundation, we must understand certain things about money, what it is, whose it is, how God views it, and its potential for use in two different kingdoms. Could you expand a little bit on those principal foundations?
Well, first of all, God owns everything, and that is so critical. I mean, that's the basis of everything else. The Old Testament is full of references to the fact that Israel were aliens and strangers. He says, the land belongs to me. It all belongs to me. The silver and the gold are mine. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, on and on. It all belongs to God. The psalm says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Right about the time we think, okay, well, I guess everything belongs to God. The only thing that really belongs to me, I guess, is myself. And then we're told, no, in 1 Corinthians 6, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Even we ourselves belong to God, first by virtue of creation and then by virtue of redemption. So we are twice God's through creation and then again his by redemption. So that is probably the most fundamental stewardship principle there is, recognizing it's all God's. It all belongs to Him. And when I think that way, then I live very differently. For instance, this morning I just opened up my Bible, and it just fell open to Haggai chapter 1, and I was reading there, and it's a text that I deal with somewhere in Money, Position, and Eternity, but it says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. And then the Lord speaks through Haggai and says, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin, because the temple had, you know, been destroyed and it was time to rebuild it? And what God is saying, and this isn't just a text to use for a building project at church or something like that. The point is, it's for God's work. It's where we realize that, you know what, fine, remodel our houses, buy a new house, do all the things that we do with our house, but, you know, don't do that to at the expense of the work of God that He has provided you these resources generously for. Start first, give priority to the things of God in your life, and then make secondary all your personal plans and agendas. Don't build your kingdom down here on earth. God is, the carpenter from Nazareth is preparing a place for us in heaven. He's got a dream house for us. We don't have to spend our lives building a dream house here.
Boy, and I tell you, I can't wait to get to that dream house in heaven. It's going to be so exciting.
Yeah, it's so far beyond anything we could build here anyway.
Oh, it sure is. I mean, we can't even imagine. I don't think even in our wildest dreams we could even come close to imagining what it's going to be like. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Randy Alcorn some more about his book, Money, Possessions, and Eternity, and we're also going to talk about another new book that he has out, The Law of Rewards. So stay tuned, because we'll be right back.